Supposed to be honest, 2 years ago, when we were starting out on this journey, we couldn't have imagined the effect that the pastoral programme would have had in parishes.
That is the enthusiastic voice of laywoman Colette Furlong. She has the title of Pastoral Services Manager for the 50th International Eucharistic Congress. What that really means is that she was in charge of supporting the development and implementation of the Pastoral Preparation Programme on a nationwide level in the lead-up to the June 10th to 17th appointment in Dublin, Ireland. The programme is presented as an itinerary for the journey towards that great gathering. Organised mapped this journey out in four separate stages. Each, they say, reflect an aspect of the celebration of the Eucharist and the lifestyle it should inspire in the faithful, in light of the overall Congress theme, the Eucharist, communion with Christ and with one another. It was a task which, 2 years ago, Furlong confesses she faced with no uncertain amount of intrepidation.
We started off with a bit of intrepidation. You know, we were in a very particular phase in the history of the church in Ireland, and there wasn't much of an appetite for even talk about the church. 2 years later, we're kind of saying, wow, you know, was this not the best timing ever for a Eucharistic Congress in our country?
The nation's dioceses have now already completed three stages of preparation for Congress. The first stage, Christ gathers us as a Eucharistic community, focused on the introductory rite. The second, Christ gathers us to listen, to hear, to be nourished and to be formed into community by God's word, focused on how the liturgy of the word nourishes our communion, while the third stage, Christ gathers us to be nourished by the bread of life, reflected on the liturgy of the Eucharist itself. Now, with the clock ticking down towards June, the faithful in Ireland are in the fourth and final stage of what has proved to be a very long, often emotional, but utterly rewarding journey towards Congress.
Stage mirrors the very first stage to a large degree, which was about gathering for the celebration of the Eucharist and who are we when we gather. So it sort of picks that question up again and says, well, who are we when we leave at the end of the gathering? You know, we're sent out to glorify the Lord with our lives and so on. The invitation has been to invite parishes to look again at what they think is happening at the end of Mass and how they're supposed to live what they've celebrated, live what they've heard. The image that we had chosen to accompany this fourth stage of the pastoral programme was the icon of Pentecost. Again, written for us by the Irish Association of Iconographers. And it features, the nucleus of the church in the upper room. But there are a number of features that are very interesting, and this can be seen on our website. You know, the way the feet are presented of each of these disciples, it's almost as if they're set to start running a race. You know, one foot in front of the other as if they're ready to take off or to dance or some kind of movement. The invitation is that a parish should see in that icon a mirror of its own being sent, as if from the upper room, at the end of every celebration of the Eucharist, confident that the Holy Spirit is guiding them if they'll allow the Holy Spirit lead. On a practical level, we have offered in our resources a number of, I don't want to call them projects, because a project sounds like something that begins and ends, but one of the resources in particular is called the Inclusive Parish Project. Now, this is to help a parish to start to think about how it is, and remembering that the theme all the time is about communion with Christ and with one another. How can we draw people who are on the margins into communion with us and with Christ. You know, those of us who have been present at the celebration of the Eucharist, we kind of are living a form of communion with Christ and with one another during the celebration. How do we transfer that into our locality? So the challenge is to look around and see who are the people in our parish on a very practical and a very honest level. Who are the people on the margins? How do we make our way to the margins to meet them there? And how do we make the margins the centre of parish life, so that gradually new margins appear and we make that the focus of our activity? It's really about people. You know, the theory and the theology is beautiful and it's wonderful. But unless this is informing policy on parish level, you know, who are we and what are we about? Then it's lovely, but it's really not useful. So our hope is that as parish look at the challenges that are presented in this project. And again, this is available on our website, and it was produced by our Justice Committee, that they will see that there is always more we can be doing. In fact, you know, as we've looked at all four stages of the celebration of the Eucharist, we realise that we're still only scratching the surface. Whilst we've gone into great depth in what we do and who we are, who are celebrating the Eucharist, we're still only on the surface. You know, there'll always be more to discover and recover. The same is true in terms of how we live the gospel, how we live the Eucharist on parish level. In fact, we had a little bit of fun in Ireland, in particular, with even the notion of parish. And we invited people to look at parish, you know, from the Greek perspective of the word parochia. And when you break that down, you've got two words, para and oikeia. Now, last year, a particular chain of shops had arrived, well, one of a chain of shops had arrived into Ireland that contains the word IKEA in it. And people were kind of looking at the word paroikea, and they were kind of saying, no, it couldn't be that particular word there. And as we did, they discovered, much to their delight, that paroikea simply translates into English. You know, para being like, alongside like, but oikeia being home. So your parish is your home alongside home. If parish life is to function, as in any home, the family members have to make the parish function, have to make the home function, which means that everyone needs to play a role in reaching out to each other, in recognising that when someone reaches out to me, it inspires gratitude, so I reach out to them. And this is a very mutual thing, where our hope would be that we restore that vision of parish life. Now, this is a huge uphill thing for many people's experience of parish. You know, we become a little bit comfortable and even, what would you say, short-sighted in parish sometimes. And whilst we have fabulous examples of parishes throughout Ireland, there are also some of us who are struggling a little bit to be outlooking. You know, we kind of look inwards and we kind of imagine, oh, should the same people do everything and nothing ever changes around here and everything we try falls short anyway, so why bother? Mm-hmm. You know, whereas on the other hand, there are other parishes that are kind of saying, well, hang on a minute, you know, we have this energy, we have this vision, let's do something, let's be something. And there is very genuinely an authentic, what would you say, recovery of what it means to be a human community that is inspired by Christ and the gospel. You know, and this is really the direction we'd love to see things going in. And it is extremely encouraging as I go around the country that you see varying, what would you say, degrees of this in action. You know, now, I mean, clearly we're not talking about, well, we are talking about heaven on earth, ideally, but we're definitely not there yet. But the signs are there, you know, which is super encouraging.
What have been the biggest challenges that you have met in this journey over the past 2 years?
The biggest challenge I've met has been, now this doesn't mean it's the biggest challenge, mm-hmm. but the biggest challenge that I've met has been, I suppose, the lack of a culture of going to things. You know, I've seen parishes organise gatherings and people just don't come. And it's not that there's no formation on offer. It just seems that, you know, some of us kind of feel, well, that's for somebody else. You know, that's for the really committed people, or that's for the very holy people. And I'm not one of them. I'm just an ordinary Catholic. You know, we're hoping that we're sowing seeds of the fact that faith formation, you know, my personal faith development is my responsibility with the rest of my parish community. And this is bog standard normal Catholic life, Christian life, And I think there is an openness among many who have had a good experience to want to pursue a bit more of this faith development. But it is, this is the challenge for us, you know, that we don't realise that these things that are organised in my parish are actually for me as opposed to somebody else. You know, so actually getting people to come to things is proving a little challenging.
Are the Irish laity or Irish Catholics beginning to step forward and take up their role, their responsibility within the Church in Ireland? Has Congress helped in that end?
I think Congress has focused our attention. It has, like, this sounds awfully utilitarian, but it has given us something to do, you know, given us something to work towards. And I would say, though, on the one hand, yeah, a little bit like we've a highly educated population, we have very highly theologically prepared lay people as well. What we lack is a structure for them to work in. So you know, somewhere down the line, we'd love to see that kick in. But there is, I suppose, there's a bit of a tension. On the one hand, we have a lot of us laity who, you know, we come from, I suppose, a particular way of doing things. And Father and the nuns have always been the people who sort of make things happen, and we kind of wait to be invited. And we kind of find that some of us lay people in Ireland are waiting to be invited to the Congress. Where on the other hand, you have other lay people who are much more proactive, and they see there's a course they want to do or there's something they'd like to be involved in, and they get up and they get on with it, you know. And then you get people who are somewhere in between. You know, given the right kind of reasons, they might come to something. And we even had an experience recently in a parish where they held a retreat. And quite a number of people came to the retreat. But when the retreat was over, there were people given out that they never heard anything about it. Despite the fact that they had been present in the church when we'd promoted it, they'd seen probably the posters but didn't read them. They'd gotten the newsletter posted into their door but didn't realise. You know, there's a whole variety of, I suppose, different temperatures of involvement for us laity. But I have to say, this is a time when lay people are realising that, well, if I want to, I can. You know, now, granted, there are obviously obstacles there at times in people's path as well, but there's a huge amount of patience required when we're talking about changing the way we've done church, the way we've been church for centuries. And there will be some who would say, well, this is a kickback from a colonial time when you waited for the gentry or the landlords to organise things and then you kind of respond. But we're growing out of that. But it is a long, slow process, but we know where we want to go, which, again, I think is probably the most significant thing we can say. But it is a question of choosing. This won't just happen. You know, the laity needs to journey, and our priests also need to be part of this journey. I mean, we're in this together. You know, so it's not about the laity stepping in to do things the father should be doing, or father kind of abandoning things and hoping that the lay people pick it up. You know, I mean, we're in this together. But there does need to be a dialogue, an open dialogue, I suppose, between laity recognising their role and laity recognising the role of the priest, and the priest recognising the role of the laity. You know, but now, this is church, this is community. It's all very human, but there is definitely a move afoot. That is a renewing experience in the church.
In short, a lot has already been done by a team of dedicated people, priests and laity such as Colette Furlong. But as she points out, a lot still remains to be done for the church in Ireland to rediscover how to be parish, how to be church, how to be in communion, not only within the church, but also within wider Irish society. Registration is still open, but time is running out for anyone who might desire to spend a week of Congress in Dublin, Ireland, from June 10th to 17th next. All you have to do is visit the Congress website at www.iec2012.ie. I'm Emer McCarthy.